It's a turnaround jump shot. It's everybody jump start. It's every generation throws a hero up the pop charts. Medicine is magical and magical is art. Think of the boy in the bubble and the baby with the babbling heart. And I believe these are days of lasers in the jungle. Lasers in the jungle somewhere. Staccato signals of constant information, a loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires and baby. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is a long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo, the way we look to us all, oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in the corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
Problem signing into Skype for some reason. It was fine yesterday. I downloaded the latest version, but it's now telling me to do this again. I'll try once more. I've sorted it. Back on Skype now. For some reason, I couldn't hear you. Got the sound up. In the end, we just realised we had to go back to first principles and use that device, which has a can at one end and a can at the other end, and means we can connect with Glinton, a little place outside of Peterborough, and say, Tessa Snott, welcome to the programme.
Hello. I know, we can't rely on technology all the time, can we?
We're not even in Studio 1A, Tess. We're in Studio 1C because of challenges
really?
That were there. Yes, so, dear Lord.
I don't know what's going on today.
Not, of course, that the listener has the slightest iota or interest in terms of which studio we happen to find ourselves in. In fact, they might well respond with something like saying, you're damn lucky you've actually got a studio at all. You know, when I was a broadcaster, shoebox. Anyway, let's go to a different one. In the studio, we have the awesome Kesha Nicklin. Kesha, as well as graduating from the University of Lincoln last year, when Tess was just completing her second year here.
I finished my course media production in May and then graduated in September.
And just talk us through some of the things that you've done since graduating, because this will be a good incentive for Tess's sister Lois, who is also doing media production.
Oh, brilliant. So after I finished my course in May, it was literally, I think, a couple of weeks after, I moved to London for 4 months and I was doing an internship at a casting agency in Ealing. That was a great experience, very sort of different to what I actually thought it was kind of going to be like. And from there, they offered me some freelance work, which was also great. And then I saw a job advert come up for a shopping channel as an assistant producer, and I applied for that, and luckily got that job. So I moved to Peterborough.
Luck had nothing to do with it, Kesha. You're clearly the best person for the post.
All these connections.
And I've been there for just coming up to 7 months.
And is it like,
for
people in Peterborough, and Tess, you're probably best suited to answer this, is it a bit like the Shrine? Is it a bit like the Twin Towers or the Arch of Wembley? I mean, obviously, the Twin Towers have been destroyed now, much like the walkway will be destroyed shortly and replaced with steps. But in terms of the sort of sense of, wow, that's the shopping channel.
Yeah, I mean, the shopping channel is, I think, almost at the heart of Peterborough.
Isn't it?
That on the train station, right. I think. There's very good connections to and from Peterborough. Yeah. But the shopping channel is massive. It's a huge building. Mm. There was actually a fire there a few years ago that completely burnt down the building. But it's all restored now, back to its glory.
I think I've only managed to watch, I think, probably about 15 minutes at any one time over the last few years of the shopping channel before I had to run screaming from the room and saying, no, I can't take it anymore. But, Tessa, have you ever bought anything from the shopping channel?
I haven't, no. I actually have never. I've watched the shopping channel, but never, ever bought anything from it.
Mm. Phil?
I'm simply allergic to shopping.
Yeah. So retail therapy, it's not therapy, is it?
It's not therapy. It's retail torture.
Yeah. And Daz?
Well, I just sometimes watch to see... sometimes they just sell some normally cool stuff. All the channels are very similar in that way. But sometimes they'll have like a fitness device or something that they just get so enthusiastic about. And you're just looking at the poor models who are continuously having to, wobble their buttocks or run up and down on this machine and they get so excited about it. And then, of course, the best thing about these machines is that they fold up and sit under your bed, which is fortunate, given the fact that they're probably going to spend most of their time there afterwards anyway.
I mean, Kesha, given it's your job, presumably, to sort of get them motivated on this point of view, have you ever had people, you know, for them, male or female, who've been concerned about their buttocks and bikes?
In terms of customers, I mean, we do get a lot of questions actually emailed to us, studioidealworld.tv.
Nice.
People email in saying, you know, will this genuinely help me lose X amount of pounds and things? Yeah. And, I mean, we just say, well, you can get it, and we offer a 14-day money-back guarantee on most products. Yeah, but I think it's interesting seeing the presenters there, you know, getting hot and sweaty on these products, because they kind of just have to do what, you know, the schedule says.
It's a job.
It's amazing.
It's, exactly.
it's live as well. It's live, isn't it? So they've got to keep going and sell that product.
They can't just have a little nap, you know, just sort of a 5-minute break.
Yeah, they've got to keep going. So if they're, I mean, I suppose if it was like cooking or something, like making like a mixer or something, like making cookies, then that'd be great, wouldn't it? But imagine getting the short straw. You're doing fitness again. I'm doing the jogging machine again.
have you noticed, Kesha, the 1,000-yard stir currently with presenters, where they literally, you know, that the lights are on, but there's nobody at home. They've gone over the top in terms of the demonstrations.
Yeah, this is frequently happens on certain products. It kind of, I suppose, mostly the fitness ones. I think the most popular for the presenters are the food, because they get to stand there and eat a lot.
And then they can burn it off by doing some more fitness stuff. Yeah, it's genius.
I know, exactly. Yes.
Well, I mean, I think it's a whole new insight that you provided there. And certainly, you know, the opportunities for Lewis, they are there as well.
I actually did. I'm sure I rang them up to see if I could do work experience there, but they wasn't taking on at the time. I rang up to see if I could try and get some, I don't know, presenting or some kind of journalism work experience.
Very narrow escape, Tessa. Very narrow escape. you're better off with BBC Radio 2, honestly. I never thought I'd say that, but, you know, basically, BBC Radio 2 as opposed to the Shopping Channel, I think, you know, you were okay. You know, even going up to Tyneside and doing it down, it's even better than that. Please, you know.
I'll pass it on to my sister. I'll tell her that's where you need to sort of
It's never too soon to start sorting out those wonderful demonstrations and placements from that point of view. Now, Tessa, I know you were awash with excitement when you were saying, oh, Phil Hanley Williams is on the show and I won't be able to sort of meet him again and so on. But you're quite positive about wanting to do a feature with Callahan, are you not?
Yes. Oh, no, I am really. Yes, I'd love to.
You see, Phil, I wasn't fibbing.
Is it on the 19th?
On the 19th, and I think, you know, this is great because the Callahan, homegrown. This is a Lincoln girl who truly has made good.
She's gone to Nashville.
Gone to Nashville,
back to
which is where she lives, and she's coming back.
Wow. And, no, I would love to.
Well, you go for it.
Talk to her and feature her on Sound and Country Vision, possibly as well.
Yeah.
It'll be happening. Not that we're replacing Els Bailey, obviously, but, you know, in terms of the sort of overall coherence, she wears that. And there's a wonderful article, actually, about Callahan in, I think, the Lincoln magazine. That's the magazine that you're holding up there.
In the Visit Lincoln What's On Guide.
Oh, even better.
There you are.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So take a look at that and we'll get that organised.
Oh, brilliant, thank you. That would be really good.
Now, the other thing, Tessa, and I know you can actually turn your healing balm, the powers of Tessa Snart, because for the first 16 months of her doing the show, I thought she was related to Leonard Snart, who, of course, is the secret identity of Captain Cold in the Legends of Tomorrow sort of side of things. And obviously when her sister's Lois as well, I'm thinking there's definitely a superior connection. But you do have the healing power. Dallas had a fairly challenging day today, a 2.5-hour staff meeting. I'll say it's not good. It's not good for anybody, really. He's looking a bit pale at present. You know, he hasn't quite sort of, you know, banged the table, because that's a bit worried with Kesha. I thought people might think it's Daz hammering the table.
I've delegated that today. I've had to pass that on to Kesha. Yes.
So you're in the middle of sorting out your dissertation, which is equally challenging. Have you got any advice for Darren about life, the universe, and so on?
Oh, gosh, advice about dissertation writing. Yeah. Well, firstly, get yourself motivated. And I think you've got to tell yourself to sit and do, you know, so much. I tend to sit down and try and get as much done as I can. But a lot of people actually tell me to set aside, say, a couple of hours and just really, really focus on it. But I think it depends on the type of person you are. So if you can do that, that's great. But I have to do it when I'm feeling quite motivated, and that's when I get most of my work done. I don't know about you.
Fantastic answer to a totally different question, but as ever, yeah, happily delivered, I feel. It's very good, yeah. I think this is, would you agree with that? I mean, it was, what, a year ago you were doing your dissertations?
Yes, it was, I think, the most dreaded thing. Every student kind of...
And what was your topic, Kesha? What did you do your dissertation on?
My topic was sci-fi heroines.
Nice.
So I looked at Sarah Connor and Ellen Ripley.
And, very good.
The kind of representation.
Alien and Terminator.
Yes, as heroines.
Oh, wow.
It was really quite complex, and you do have to, like Tessa said, just immerse yourself, I think, into the subject. And I similarly kind of sat down when I felt motivated and just blasted through like loads of texts and things.
One of our students this year, Krishna Chowan, is doing her analysis of the representation of female superheroes in Marvel and DC comics and the universe, etc. She should really actually access your dissertation as well for further inspiration.
Yeah, it's a very contemporary topic.
Oh, exactly so. Hashtag meet it. No, that's a different line entirely, but still, it's go on that basis. Tessa, any other questions you'd like to put to either Kesha, to Phil, or indeed to Darren about the programme so far, and so on and so forth?
Yes, maybe they could tell me a few of the highlights, because obviously I've missed sort of the beginning. Has anything happened that, you know, what's been your favourite part so far?
Wow.
Yes. Well, we've been learning to step into other shoes and becoming other people.
Okay.
Yes. And we had a great missive earlier about how the difference between an actor, an actor becomes the character, and then Gershwin's brother, who was impersonating,
who believed he indeed was
his brother.
Exactly.
And then did you hear about the bubbles?
I don't think you have the bubbles at all.
Skype
wasn't working.
You need to get online.
That's our podcast.
Yeah, check out the podcast.
And we haven't really addressed this line about why do people still think the Earth is flat? Because I know we showed you the video, Phil, about some people who genuinely believe the Earth is actually flat. Is that worrying? I mean, should we be concerned about people who believe that actually we are living on a flat plane as opposed to something even more
spherical? Well, I'll give you a parallel theory that actually everyone speaks English. And it's only when an English-speaking person comes in earshot that they switch languages.
Oh,
that's very deep, that.
That is deep, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's all a conspiracy.
It's like the whole thing when a tree falls.
Phil Leonis will appreciate that. The truth is out there. Ancient mysteries.
That's also similar to people thinking that actually, like, what is red as a colour? You know, everyone sees colours differently. I think that's quite an interesting.
What you see about nice.
That is truly interesting.
Yes.
The whole notion of redness, as
the
Roland Barthes would actually say. And
yeah.
I've always thought it was slightly piquant that actually Roland Barthes, the father, the modern-day father of semiotics, actually ended his life by being knocked over by a laundry truck in France. Not really funny, but there is a sensitivity of that side of things there. You know, what is the notion of, it's an apple, and existentialism, that's a whole new world. Well done, Tessa, you've opened up a whole new theme there, which is just what we actually needed. We're going to try and...
that conversation escalated.
So, a bit like the sort of Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump talks, just suddenly they come out best of friends, this is great, it's the best buds, and the world is a better place as a result of that. Kesha, first time, first show, would you like to put those last two questions to Tessa Snart, please?
Oh, yeah, so Tessa, have you enjoyed being on the midweek drive?
I have, as I always do, thank you. It's always strange. From this side.
Yeah.
This side's even stranger, honestly.
This
still.
Side.
And are you looking forward to coming back to us in the near future to speak?
Yes, I am. If Alex will have me back.
You will hopefully meet her. You'll meet her in person, Kesha.
Oh, yes.
This, the whole thing, you actually meet the Tessa side, meet Tessa and Kesha on the same show. Standing.
Yeah, no, that would be lovely.
In the universe, all alone, in the universe. in the universe all alone in the universe. It gets so sad in the unknown. I'm tired of in the universe, all alone in the
don't worry, you're never alone with the midweek drive, even though many scientific studies have shown that in the 21st century, loneliness is the most heartfelt of problems and challenges. Never mind. You're not alone with Sci-Fi Scarborough, are you, Steve Dickinson?
Never alone with those.
Never alone, never ever alone with Sci-Fi Scarborough. And it's great that you're connecting with the show, because for once I can actually say that possibly two out of the three folk that are co-presenting the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio this very evening will be joining me in the little adventure that will be on the 21st of April in Scarborough at the Scarborough Spire, which is what April days were actually made of. It's awesome. We've got Darren Scales, we've got Cash and Nicklin, we've also got Phil Howland-Williams as well. Darren, when I showed you this in my office a couple of weeks ago, when you came up to say, Kesha can't come out to play because she's stuck in Peterborough. She's very apologetic, but she sent me to tell you. Something like that, I think. He delivered it in that kind of George Formby-esque way, Kesha.
He was getting into ukulele and everything.
He was into character. So I said, Steve, hold it there, Darren. Hold it there. I've got this wonderful thing to talk about. And then I instantly, I think, electronically introduced you to Steve Dickinson. And indeed, now you've got a chance to speak to him as well. There are Academy Award winners who've trembled at meeting the Dickinson Meister before. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm trembling right now. I mean, this is an enormous opportunity.
It's truly sort of wonderful. Deep in the warehouse, buried beneath the Scarborough Spire, Dusty Memory Card was unveiled. And yes, the opening of Sci-Fi Scarborough, which is what we're watching now. Steve, share with us one more time, why is just this an essentially awesome post-Easter event?
It's become one of the go-to events on the North East Coast, maybe even Yorkshire, I don't know. It's very popular, and it gets a lot of interest because there's only one a year. It's a one-off, you know, and we don't do it anywhere else. We just do it in Scarborough, and it involves a lot of people, a lot of time, a lot of creators, a lot of guests, a lot of everything, really. I mean, the spa is a great big old unit. It's a quarter of a mile long with, like, several, you know, seven and maybe eight or nine different areas, if you count all the outside areas as well, where there's stuff going on. And we have all sorts going in this year. Many guests from, obviously, Dominic Keaton from Star Trek Enterprise, which is great. We've got Josh Herdman, who played Gregory Goyle in every single Potter film, which is fantastic. Can't wait to meet him. He's also now an MMA cage fighter, so no one's going to mess with him anyway. So
what else can you do after Harry Potter other than cage fighting? Inevitably.
Yeah, it's obvious, the obvious step, isn't it, to be honest? no one's going to argue with you, put it that way. Yeah, we've got Jimmy V, the new R2-D2. He's coming along, and he played a lot of really cool aliens in Doctor Who as well. And we have a lot of Doctor Who aliens on the lineup as well. which is really cool. And Brian Muir is coming, who is the world famous sculptor and prop maker for many films and TV shows, including Harry Potter, Doctor Who, James Bond, who's done a lot of props for James Bond as well. He's worked all over the place. I've been trying to get him for years. He's the guy that sculpted Vader's helmet. You can't get better than that as far as prop makers go. And we've got John Campion coming back, who was a Death Eater in Harry Potter and also King Regent.
We've said this before, Steve, but John Campling, he's kind of a fixture when it comes to sci-fi Scarborough. Geeking Beside the Seaside, wonderful chap, fine soul. Darren, you've done many a gig with John Campling, present in some way, shape or form.
It's certainly been around. I mean, the trouble is, when I get to go to cons and stuff like that, a lot of the time it's with, showing the film,
Well, this time you can come along as a pleasure celebrity
how
guest.
Cool, how
exactly.
Cool that, just to come along and just see what's going on. Just see that promo video is just, I love it. It's just on the pier with all the character stuff. It looks really good fun. It looked like you had a lot of fun doing that.
It was very cold. It was very cold. It was January. Harley Quinn.
Oh, poor girl.
Not much at all.
No.
She was such a trooper. She was a great girl, as Gemma. They were all brilliant. And the trailer's gone down really well.
We're hoping that's
going to get a good push over the next few weeks and be shown around in a few places. So, yeah. Yeah, it's all set and it's all looking good. We've got the R2 builders coming back. And there's going to be loads of them. And possibly some from the films, possibly some screen used droids. I think we have maybe five, I've been told. The usual complement of Daleks, is about a dozen of those going around the place causing mayhem like they always do.
Excellent.
But it won't be the same without them, there's just stuff everywhere. I mean, it's all up on the Facebook now, and most of it's up on the website. We're still uploading stuff now, it's all set.
And it's nice to hear. I'm sure that Mark Zuckerberg will be pleased to know that you haven't actually withdrawn everything from Facebook, because let's face it, the whole thing could collapse any second now. It's a bit rude.
It does sound that way, but it's too much of a good tool to use, to be honest. It's safe to lose it, but we'll find something else.
Mark Zuckerberg, too much of a good tool to lose. That could actually be his biography in many ways, really.
I think he'd love that.
He probably wouldn't come over here in any case, so what the hey, So, Kasia, how many sort of conventions? I mean, are you a convention regular? Comic-Cons and so on?
Yeah, more so in the last couple of years. I've been working with Daz on Darkwave, and we've gone to Comic-Cons to showcase the film. And
perhaps you'd like to share, before we move into that, with Steve Dickinson, why, if there was just one thing that probably need for Scarborough's sci-fi Scarborough, not this year perhaps because it's too tight, but maybe why Darkwave is a movie he should check out.
It's a fantastic story. I was putting it on the spot now. Dad's looking at me like, you better say something good here. It's a wonderful short film, 25 minutes in length. Very simple story, but I think one that...
Shane Rimmer is an early sci-fi Scarborough.
Yeah. Scott Tracy in Thunderbirds.
Voice of.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Yes, and Natalie Cox as well. She was Juno Eclipse, wasn't she, in Star Wars Force Unleashed,
and she was Wrath of the Titans as well.
So. Yeah, there's a couple of good names there. I think it's generally a story that everyone can kind of relate to now, even though it's set in this sort of futuristic world. And we're currently working on a feature, so you never know, it might be a whole new feature coming up. Yes.
Darren, you can be honest here. I did electronically introduce you. Did you contact Steve? Steve's too busy, basically. He might have delegated.
We're just such busy people.
Exactly.
The thing is, I spoke to my people, he spoke to his people, but unfortunately his people didn't speak to my people. But it's been so busy and hectic, as you well know at the moment. But,
thank heavens for the midweek drive.
But we're going, aren't we? We're going up there, we can say hi, we'll take some copies of the movie, we'll take some flyers.
We will bring goodies for you, Steve. To consider.
Yeah, we've got the Star Wars spoofs as well. They go down really well at Comic-Cons. Emperor's New Clones movie that we did, award-winning, and that went down really well at Grimsby. Full house. I mean, pretty much emptied over the traded area, and they all came to watch the Star Wars movie, which I was really happy with. So, that'd be great. We'll get in touch then anyway, if nothing else.
And it's a big relief for Steve, because in the last couple of years, basically, he's sort of said, they're coming along. Are you going to get some midweek drivettes along? And it's just been me,
His face was dropping.
You can see he's like, is it him again? Oh, fair enough.
You said you were going to get me an ice cream on the beach anyway, Alex.
Well, this is true. Of course, there's a spike as well. Phil, any questions that you'd like to put to Steve Dickinson about Sci-Fi Scarborough now approaching its fifth awesome year?
Well, the most important question is the date for next year's festival, because I can't make this year.
Right.
And I really want to. Yeah.
The date for next year, you're putting me on the spot. Yeah.
No, sorry. just let Alex know so I can get it in the diary.
I think it's the 5th and 6th of April, but I will confirm that.
I know, but...
But yeah, we have the next 2 years in, so it's like, yeah.
So looking ahead, early April 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. This is all about planning. You know, this is something I would ideally want to go to.
It's a time warp connected to all sorts of other areas. Yes, you know, it's living in that, living time warp, is that? Those chronoton particles and so on. Anyway, carry on. What was your next question?
Well, it's the spoofs. You know, do they go down well? Or do we have to be serious about our sci-fi?
Not a sci fiction comic.
Not at all.
No. You don't.
Not at all. The funnier the better. Most people go to have a good time at Sci-Fi Scarborough, but they don't want to be too serious about anything, and they love the spoofs. Anything like that. I mean, I still haven't seen like The Orville and things like that. You know, I'm still trying to catch up.
It's a wonderful series.
People are telling me it's great. You know, there's a couple of people who take as well to get into it, but I mean, I know I love it because I've seen just the trailers and I was like, that looks brilliant. But, you know, it's like there's so many great films out there on YouTube as well, you know, that we want to show. Cramming them into the schedule, you know. We use the theatre for a lot of guest panels now because of the size of it. We need the size and the capacities. It's one of the biggest rooms there, all seated, all 600. So we struggle now to fit fan films in as well. But we're trying to work out something where we can have a dedicated fan film actual festival or something like that. You know, that'd be really, really good.
So we're
working on it all the time. We're constantly rejigging and tweaking it and trying to make it better, you know. And every year we see what worked and what didn't. And if it didn't work, we change it, you know, and try and make it better and give someone else a shot.
Yeah,
and I can vouch for that because when I was first introduced to the team at Sci-Fi Scarborough, well, actually Ed Fortune, Starburst Magazine, I kind of trotted up that, and yes, absolutely awesome, very well done, and thumbs up all the way. Are you looking forward to Sci-Fi Scarborough, Kesha?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's actually a weekend that I've got free.
So yeah, we see?
See, that's planning.
Yeah.
Sorted out, you know, she went back in time to clear that weekend to sort out the other bits and pieces, and suddenly the magic just opens
up. Is there going to be a cosplay competition or some cosplay events?
Yeah, we have cosplay competition both days outside up on the sun terrace.
Awesome.
Weather permitting, but I mean, we always get good weather, touching a lot of wood right now. I'm sat between two wooden tables. And we have best male, best female, best boy, best girl both days, and they get a little award, and they do a big, you know, big parade along, you know. It's just really nice, you know, and everyone spends a whole year in Scarborough working on their cosplays and talking to each other in this little network, and you know, it's really nice. You know, it's really nice to see them come back year on year and get better and better as well. You know, I mean, it's incredible stuff we see every year. So, yeah, I don't know what we're going to get this year, but it'll be an eye-opener. It always is.
Actually, of course, Pixie Lenotte, who literally actually is a contortionist. Ross Mullen, Jamie Hill, Sarah Louise Madison, all great sort of folk. And again, lots of opportunities to sort of chat and talk about a whole heap of other things, including Captain Scott's Saturday Night Shindig, I see, and the pop-up puppet cinema.
It's great, yeah. Those guys are amazing. They did Back to the Future last year, and it went down a storm, and it was really insane and really clever. We had to stand behind them and watch them do it, see how they did it. You know, and there's like four of them crammed behind this little Punch and Judy setup sort of thing, you know. Incredible stuff. Looking forward to that. Jaws in 20 minutes. How are they going to do that?
Won't even go there because it's just stupid. Steve, how can people actually get in touch with Sci-Fi Scarborough? What are the details, websites and so on that they need to actually contact to book tickets for this grand event?
Yeah, you just go to our website, www.scifiscarborough.co.uk. Have a browse, have a peruse, see what's going on. The schedules will be going up early next week, finished schedules, because they've always been chopped and changed, even as we speak. And you can go on there and book tickets as well, which is great.
Tremendous. I think it's over to you, Darren. Last two questions, please.
So, Steve, have you and your people enjoyed being on the Drive Time tonight with us?
It's always a pleasure, never a chore.
And can we look forward to you coming back sometime in the very near future?
Oh, I'd love to, yes, to give you a last-minute update and anything else that's happened.
Exactly. And in a matter of moments, we'll find out if Phil Lynn is going to actually remember the challenge that was set to him by Phil Hamlin-Williams a few weeks ago. No, we haven't forgotten. We wonder if Phil has. And a bit like homing pigeons coming home to roost, where you're never quite sure in what order they'll connect. We've been juggling co-presenters around telephonically around the last hour and a half, and we can say now, Sci-Fi London founder extraordinaire, Louis Savvy, welcome to the Midweek Drive.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Excellent. What's the weather like in London these days? Are you coping with Hurricane Hugo or whatever our Spanish correspondents are going through?
No, it's been raining all day, but stopped now. We had a little bit of 2 minutes of sun. The moon's out as well. Typical British weather, really.
Splendid, yeah. Splendid. Yeah. We need
meteorological. It's cold and it's spring, so
Tremendous. So far on the programme, we've talked about bubbles, we've talked about time zones, we've talked about the Shopping Channel at length, of course, with graduate Kesha Nicklin. Now, actually, Kesha. Suddenly, I just thought maybe you could be the saviour of the Midweek Drive
right. And
Sci-Fi London at this particular moment. Because last year we had Holly McGrattan from, indeed, the School of Media, and others, including Jessica Snark, was part of it, Eva McDonald, who managed to take part in the 48-hour film challenge. Have you heard of the 48-hour film challenge, Kesha Nicklin?
I have heard of it, yes. It's something that I haven't done, but it definitely appeals to me. And I think I just need to sign up for them, really. Yeah.
Louis, I think, I mean, basically, sorry, Tessa, but if you're listening, this could be the time where, in the words of Casablanca's other Louis, this could be the start of a beautiful friendship. Louis Savvy, would you like to just sort of set the scene and let's get Kasia sorted out for this year's 48-hour film challenge?
Right, well, as you know, it's 2 days to make a 5-minute short film. So we'll give you the title of the film you make. We'll give you a line of dialogue we need to see a character say, a prop list of things we need to see, and an optional science fiction or science elevator pitch theme kind of thing. And then you've got Saturday to write it. You've got to then shoot it, edit it, grade it, titles, whatever else you want to do to it, and then upload it back to us for Monday morning, or Monday 1 o'clock. Yeah, that's it. Nice and easy.
That sounds very tempting, yes.
I think you should do it.
It should be more than tempting. Yeah. It should be go to 48hours.scifilondon.com and just sign up. It's free, and on Saturday morning you log back in and you'll find those 4 bits of information there ready for you, and you've got a weekend to make a film.
It is the 10th.
The worst that can happen is that on Monday you've made a film.
Exactly. I've made lots of short films in my time and music videos as well, but none in just 48 hours. So it would be
exactly.
A fantastic challenge. Yeah.
It's a really interesting exercise, actually, because you've got very little time for everyone's ego to get in the way.
Mm.
You know, you really do have to sit round Saturday morning and write the thing, and then just get on with it. You know, and you cut everything back, you pare everything back, you do the minimum work that you can do to give yourself the maximum amount of time to shoot and edit the thing, and if you plan it right, then you've got someone working on your titles and your credits and all that at the same time, and some music and sound design, and you know, you can put together some amazing productions, and because we've had, you know, brilliant results over the years, but it's such a challenge. The one big tip I always give everybody is don't try and write a script. Don't come with 5 pages of things that, you know, that you think are going to be great for a 5-minute short, because you know, as a filmmaker, you don't have enough time in a weekend to do that.
Yeah.
But if you make it up on the morning, then you can go, right, okay, it's about time travel, it's going to be this, da, da, da. We've got 3 lines of dialogue, we're going to say this, 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 and this, and the audience should be able to get it. Here's the beginning, middle, and end, and we're out. It's like telling a joke, you know. You just need to get a really easy setup and a good punchline.
In the current edition of SFX magazine, well, indeed, the recently released one with the new cast of Lost in Space on the front cover, we turn to page 20.
We're in it.
Yeah, we turn to page 20, Louis, and obviously Richard Edwards, big fan of Sci-Fi London, and quite rightly so. We see a short film roundup, 48 hours, some of the most memorable entries to Sci-Fi London's 48-hour film challenge. You got Factory Farms, you got Unreason, Blue Season, It's No Game, Interlude, Future Inc., Blue Channel, No Guarantee, Sunspring. In fact, Blue Season was only the 3rd short that Daisy Ridley made before she signed on to Star Wars.
Certainly was.
Would you like to tell us about Blue Season, Louis? What was it all about?
You know what? I don't know.
That's it was before she jetted off to a galaxy far, far away. Daisy Ridley starred in this 2013 short as a woman who wakes up in a dark bunker. But who put her there? And why?
Yeah.
Ridley's
exactly.
Performance, so go for broke good, it's no wonder Hollywood came knocking with a bigger role for her. So there we are, just a selection of the 48-hour film challenges.
There's only two actors in it, and they're both really good, and the film is very well put together. It's just, there wasn't enough story for it to become a shortlisted film, but obviously it's memorable in terms of the challenge because Daisy Ridley was in it, and obviously, if you watch it, you'll see her doing lots of running, lots of, you know, you could, if they saw that and said, we need a Ray.
She could almost have been on the Shopping Channel actually selling HIIT fitness guru routines.
Yes.
That much running, it's amazing.
Exactly. But it's definitely worth a watch. And again, we're hoping that, you know, if you get a chance to look at the films that are listed there in SFX, you'll get a really good idea of the width. Because there's another film on there called Blue Channel, not Blue Season, and that was my, I think there's 2 guys sitting on a sofa in a front room, and at the end there are 2 girls who knock at their door, that's the only cast, but it's got why we liked that film was because it had a really good story, but the production values were not great, So it's, you know, between Blue Season seeing really good production, really good performances, and against this other film, one's got the story, one's got the production. And then if you look at any of the other ones on there, they pretty much have a mix of both of those things and were really solid, good examples of what you can do in a weekend.
And they're at 7th of April. That is the day of the film challenge, the day before Countryside Links at the Lincolnshire Showground. It's an awesome first week after Easter. It's amazing, really. Are you up for that challenge, Kesha?
Definitely. I'll be checking out the website tonight.
There you go.
Good. Go and have a look. Can't wait to see what you come up with. Yeah. And if you need helping hands, Tessa's looking to join a team if she doesn't do it herself.
Exactly. You've got Tessa Snott and the midweek drivettes as well for that perspective.
Yeah.
So.
I'll give you one more tip, actually, which is the other one that I was giving. And you'll know this again because you've made film before. Your friends are not actors.
Yes.
Unless they're actors, of course.
They might think they are, but they're not.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unless they're actors, but you've got the next week or 10 days to start ringing up those actors that you know and saying, what are you doing next weekend? Can we have you for a couple of hours in the afternoon? Mm-hmm. And if you look at the SFX article, you'll spot David Hasselhoff, who was in one of the films last year.
Wow. He does everything these days.
Don't hassle off. I don't know if he's available for the challenge this year, but Oscar Sharp, who made it, dropped me an email last week and said he's going to try and top what he did last year.
Whoa.
And the year before.
He's not trying to do what the Manchester science fiction event actually didn't get. William Shatner and David Hasselhoff in the same building at the same time.
And Casper Van Dien.
What a lineup they had.
Yeah.
I mean, Drill
the
Hall,
dolphin, the
clearly.
The dolphin, the Hoff.
Things to think about in terms of ways forward. It's an awesome one. Philip, any questions you'd like to put to Louis Savvy? Is Sci-Fi Island, or would you like to know the dates of the 2019 Film Festival?
No, it just brought me back to the first week of my MA in professional writing, where we split into two groups and in 5 days made a short film.
There you are.
Which none of us had ever done before.
So actually, you could be another entry.
You could, but also, the other thing, just to remind everybody, we also run a 48-hour flash fiction competition, which is running exactly the same weekend. So
when it comes to flash fiction, Phil Hamlin Williams is a past master.
We've nicked your idea, I'm afraid.
Would you like to explain why the Lincoln Drill Hall and Lincoln Literary Festival in particular actually appropriated the awesome flash fiction design?
Well, we, as the Lincoln Book Festival, we want to reach a wider audience. So last year we launched a flash fiction competition to primary schools, secondary schools, and adults. Last year the theme was Gothic, and we got some fabulous entries.
And indeed, keeping the notion of homage, and basically sort of homage as opposed to basic plagiarism, we're looking in 2019 to have a Twilight Zone-themed flash fiction piece for the 60th anniversary of the Twilight Zone.
Fantastic.
Which I'm sure we can connect with Sci-Fi London, and actually we will talk about that.
We need to.
Darren, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Louis Savvy apart, you know, life, the universe, and why one of these days I'm sure he'll watch The Expanse in its full form?
No. I'm just curious as to, in terms of the themes, he sees so many films and stuff. Are there running themes that, you know, just you're just so sick of seeing, like yet another this type of movie or this type of story? Is there things that, you know, that we should be perhaps avoiding, just in terms of the fact of the number of those types of genres?
It's a really difficult question because I don't think it's anything that we haven't seen, if that makes sense, because we've been running the flash fiction for 5 years and the film competition for 10, and the festival's 18 years old this year. So, you know, we've seen the zombies, the space monsters.
It's coming of age, Louis. It's coming of age. Your baby is coming of age. It can vote now.
It's going to go to the bar this year on its own.
Unbelievable.
But what we have seen is there's been certainly been trends. You know, there've been with the film challenge, for instance. Gareth Edwards won it in the first year with a film called Factory Farm. Then obviously he went on to do Godzilla and Rogue One, and you know, to become a Hollywood name. So over the course of about 4 years, we had probably 10% of the films that were sort of direct rip-offs and just copies of right. what he'd done. So there was someone in a gas mask walking across the field.
You could only do that so many times, really. You think it's boring?
Well, when we, in fact, I think it was 2 years ago, we had someone that basically copied the film almost shot for shot, just had a female character instead of a male character, and it was, I mean, it was just blatant. You know, maybe we can win with this one, but we'll just change the gender. and it was quite ridiculous. So, but we, you know, we have about 5 or 6 years ago, we had a lot of zombie films that were submitted to the competition and also to the general festival. This last couple of years, this year, we've got a lot of films that are dealing with nanotechnology, virtual reality and immersive worlds, that are dealing with, a sort of, you know, loss of
social
power.
Networking sites, when they've actually sort of taken all your data and they've harvested it, who knows what could happen there.
And it's the 200th anniversary of what I think is, you know, the first proper science fiction
book. The modern
book.
Prometheus. It was exactly, the modern Prometheus.
Exactly.
Frankenstein.
So we've got a few films that have kind of hooked onto immortality and, you know, do you want to live forever and being able to... I mean, we've got the world premiere of a fabulous Swiss film called Katrina's Dream, which is about a woman who was in love with this older man, and eventually she leaves him for his younger friend. Anyway, they're having a party. They go off together, the two guys, in a car. They're drunk. They crash the car. One of them's body is damaged, and the other one's brain, head is damaged. But there's a new sanatorium, you know, new process that they've got, and they basically say, well, look, what we can do is put his head on the other guy's body. And then she gets all confused, and she wants a baby. She wants to get pregnant, and she's all confused now because he looks like the older man, but he's got the body of the younger guy, and it's fabulously dark and very sweet as well. Yeah. Really good sci-fi, and obviously, you know, lends itself to, again...
It's like a spring autumn romance, really. It's just heartwarming.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, really, I mean, you probably know this much more, and you could say it more eruditely than me, but, you know, there is that thing of there are only 7 stories and, you know, and so on. And I think that's just as true in science fiction. You know, we get the same, you know, hero story and the love story and so on. What we look for is just a slightly different twist on how you arrive at the end of that story.
Variations on a theme.
And every year we're amazed at the stuff again that comes in for the general festival, and the amazing films that get produced for the 48-hour. You know, it's outstanding.
If we reach Phil Dennis, I think he'll have rightly given up a good 15 minutes of his slot to your good self for that particular routine. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme, Louis Seve?
Of course I have.
And are you back with us again next week as the countdown continues towards the Sci-Fi Film Challenge and more?
And we'll be releasing the full programme, should be by next Wednesday, and we're releasing all of the movies we've got tomorrow. There's a little teaser trailer going out and so on. So that'd be great to do.
Louis Seve will return.
Yeah.
It is a mystery. What's happened to Phil Lynas? I'm sure he's okay. We might speak to him tomorrow morning when it'll be midnight in Los Angeles. Maybe he's just realised he hasn't thought out a proper answer to the question that he put to him, Phil Hamlin-Williams, about getting involved with local cultures and
That's
arts
right.
and so on. It'll happen. Final plugs for Lincoln Drill Hall over the festive period, because we've already featured at length this week the excitement of Alice in Wonderland at the new Lincoln Theatre Royal. I had an interview with the cast, which you're going to hear tomorrow. And they were in fine fettle, it has to be said. But Lincoln Drill Hall, just a little bit further up the hill.
Yeah, a little bit further along. Mm-hmm. I will actually go to the following weekend. On the 6th
That's not the 7th and 8th of April when everything is happening for Sci-Fi London Film Challenge. Yeah. And
But some people will stay in Lincoln. On the afternoon, we have the fabulous Sinfonia Viva coming up from Derby. And then on the Tuesday, and I am tingling with excitement at this, we've got The Damned United.
Wow.
Which is the story of Brian Clough's
44 days at Leeds United, Elland Road. He was not liked, Des.
Dear.
He was not liked by Johnny Giles, by Billy Bremner, by so many people. Just didn't like him at all, really. It's 44 days.
But this modest man is having...
They have a statue in Nottingham to him, of course.
Oh, I know. Well, you see, I'm Derby County fan.
Really?
You know, from a little boy.
Yeah, you see, I've always liked Derby County, and in fact, Kevin Hector once signed my autograph book back in the day. Kevin Hector, Archie Gemmell, of course, big fan of Archie.
Well, it is my daughter who now has my mum's autograph book of Derby County from the 1930s.
This
is hardcore.
That beats the 70s, doesn't it?
This is hardcore.
That's not Charlie George, you know. But as a Manchester City fan, obviously, I have to bear in mind that Francis Lee once left City to join Derby County and had Barry Davis once on Match of the Day saying, "Look at his face! Just look at his face!" Sorry, a little bit of extemporization. I was getting into the role, Daz.
It's very good, very good. Yeah, you're hired.
I say so. Was I okay apart from the dries?
Yeah.
Great, so, and people can access the Drill Hall online by going where?
LincolnDrillHall.com.
Excellent. Kesha, have you enjoyed your introduction to the midweek drive in which we've jaunted around from the joys of Spain to San Diego, right the way through to even parts of London as well?
I have. It's been very interesting. It's been a great 2 hours, and I hope to be back soon.
There we are, possibly in a week or so's time. Yeah. It's great stuff, Kesha. As well done, Daz. You've obviously sort of picked another winner. Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And have you enjoyed the programme, Daz? Has it cured the headache, or is it still a case of no?
No, I am bouncing around like a ribena berry. It's all gone. I'm clear. It's fantastic.
I have been cleansed.
This is the company in this room.
Heal the whole system. Yep, tomorrow morning, live from Gibraltar, Gabriella Peralta. Richard Fitzwilliams is talking about Unsane and The Square. Ian Lennox is with us. Stephanie Romyshevsky will be talking about sleep physiology and what it's like being director of the Sleepyhead Clinic. And we've got Emma Tinson talking about, again, the likes of all sorts of traffic and travel details and so on, plus a couple of EastEnders celebrity folks as well. That's it. Thanks to the team, to Phil Hamlin-Williams. Have you enjoyed the programme, Phil?
Hugely.
Plus, even though we've been in a different studio, it's a bit like the black hole of, I won't say where, actually politically incorrect, etc. But still, we had to change our location here. And we'll be back in the morning. Thanks to Kesha Nicklin. Thanks to Des Scales. How can people access your movies, Darren, online?
Yep, www.darkwavepictures.co.uk.
Splendid. Can we all say be seeing you? Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.